Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a legend in his own mind.
Welcome back. Second hour of the Scott Hamilton Show, brought to you by the U.S. Navy's Military Sealift Command. Conference realignment, things sorting out in different directions, who's going where, who's staying here, who's not going anywhere. And it's so fluid. It's still fluid. I mean, it's just not, it comes in waves.
Right. This is like an ongoing process.
It is. It just comes in waves. And we don't know what's being said behind the scenes and what's being done and what's next. I still think the Power 5 team, or conferences rather, need to at least stay open-minded.
Oh, absolutely. They have to, as of right now.
Never know. Because they're in reactionary mode.
Yeah.
After the SEC kind of took the bull by the horns. But it's the G5 that really fascinates me. Everything going on with there. Again, a trickle-down effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's expand or die, I guess. We'll ask our guest, joining us on the Saitama Hotline. He's the publisher of Extra Points, excellent newsletter that covers all the important things that happen off the field. I suggest you subscribe to it, Trent. Matt Brown, welcome to the Scott Hamilton Show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, fellas. Happy to be here.
Well, appreciate you coming on, sir. And just give me your assessment to begin of everything that went down on Friday with the news that Southern Miss was going to be changing addresses. And where does it go from here?
It's a great question, and all of this, as you were saying beforehand, is happening very quickly. When I look at this field now, I think you'd have to feel pretty good if you are a fan of a Sun Belt program, including Southern Miss. I think you're at this point, it is expected that later this week the Sun Belt's going to expand to include Marshall, Old Dominion, and James Madison, the current FCS program that's been a power at that level up in Virginia. I think gives you a really strong football league. That gives you a really strong college baseball league, potentially a very strong softball league at the top of that league, one where you can still bust to a lot of those opponents. It's not going to give you gigantic media money, but also, like, if you're a college sports fan, you don't really care about that, right? Like, no one's sending you a dividend check. If your school is getting a bigger ESPN deal, you care about, are my teams going to have access to interesting postseason events? Are they going to be playing teams that I care about? Are they going to be in a stable league for the next 4 or 5 years? And I think if you're associated with the Sun Belt, you have to feel pretty good. If you're associated with the American or Conference USA, I think you would certainly feel less confident right now, particularly with Conference USA, because that league is hanging on by a thread right now and could look very, very different in the next 72 hours.
Yeah, I mean, what does CUSA even do at this point other than bring up FCS teams? And there's only one James Madison out there, but they're going to dip down into the FCS. I would presume, Matt, that's the only way they can restock their roster.
That is the only way they can restock their roster. And, you know, last week when I was first hearing about this, I figured, well, you know, maybe they could go get James Madison. If you retain Old Dominion, there's a couple of other Colonial Athletic programs that could be, you know, thought to call up, and why don't you just focus on being an Eastern League? And that's not going to happen now. The last that I heard after calling around on Sunday is that the Conference USA feels pretty good about their ability to hang on to the schools that are left, who are all over the place. You got Western Kentucky, you got Middle Tennessee, Florida International, Louisiana Tech, and UTEP. Their focus right now is, let's rebuild around the southwestern portion of our area, right? Let's see if we can bring in New Mexico State as a football-only affiliate member. Let's see if we can reach out to a couple of these schools in the Southland or the WAC that have been, you know, are thinking about reclassifying to FBS later this decade, and just expedite that process, whether that's a McNeese State, a Sam Houston State, a Tarleton State, which is, you know, a Division II team just very recently and is being very aggressive about wanting to be an FBS power, and then potentially a couple of these other teams. So the hope is, if you keep everybody together and you're able to bring in, you know, 4 of these programs, you can hang on long enough to figure out your next move, which is kind of what the WAC did after a decade in the wilderness. Is that a good football league? No. Is it still a football league that has FBS designation? If everything works out correctly, it still is.
In the hierarchy of things, it seems to me it's been shuffled. It used to be The American was understood to be the alpha of G5, or at least that's the way they presented it, and I bought into it.
Yeah.
You had a Central Florida doing what it was doing. You have Cincinnati doing what they're doing now. Navy up and down, some great years. But I think the Sun Belt since then has leapfrogged them in terms of quality from top to bottom, or maybe more good teams at the top. But how do they line up when it comes to revenue? I'm wondering, what is the typical payout from the conference to members of the American, and how does it rank amongst the group of five?
That is a great question right now, because over the last several weeks, when I would call around to other athletic directors, when I would call around to experts that actually help broker some of these deals, people that used to, buy media for ESPN, or people that worked in acquisitions for Fox or large agencies, they, to a man and to a woman, they all said, there's no way the American is going to be able to keep their current revenue distribution, where they are expected to distribute between $6 and $7 million a year through their current TV contract. But the American, as a conference office and what they're telling their members, thinks that they can. So either Mike Oresko knows something about what that nobody else does, which is possible. He's the only one talking to ESPN right now. Or this league is going to get an unpleasant surprise in a few weeks. The other tricky thing about forecasting this is no one is entirely certain exactly what exit fees are going to be like. And that represents a short-term windfall for all of these leagues of tens of millions of dollars. But what the bylaws say an exit fee might be, with the American potentially recouping $30, $31 million from Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston, and what actually happens after litigation can be two different things. So I would feel comfortable projecting that in the very, very short term, the American is still going to distribute more money to their members than the Mountain West, than the Sun Belt, and then Conference USA and the MAC at the very bottom. But what that looks like in 4 years is an open question, and it depends less about what happens on the football field and more what happens in courtrooms. I tell this to my readers all the time, and it can be frustrating for fans to hear, right? The only truly undefeated force in college athletics, it's not Georgia's defense, it's not Oklahoma, it's billable hours. And that's who's going to win when all of this is done.
Oh, yeah, I can't imagine what's going on with the Southeastern Conference right now, Oklahoma, Texas, and all that. Have they got like 8,000 lawyers and 9 million hours billed? So it's going to be a lot of cash, Matt.
Everyone's favorite part of college football, right? It's the lawyers. That's what I always say.
We're joined by Matt Brown of Extra Points. Follow him on Twitter, at Matt Brown EP. And, Matt, I know I'm in South Carolina right now. I'm far, far, far from the footprint of the Mid-American Conference, but I think the MAC has it figured out. They make sense geographically. They have like values across the board with all of its member institutions. Yep. What's next for the MAC? Is it just going to sit back and just continue to insulate itself and go about business as usual? And kind of help us understand what the MAC looks like as far as revenue and so on and so forth. I have to think there's value in owning a Tuesday night, but still, it's not like they're putting out Power 5 teams every night.
That's what it is, right? I mean, I want to say that the television revenue, I think, is a little bit under $1 million a year, but you have to realize that when you're trying to figure out your budget, that your television revenue isn't the only factor. And you're absolutely right. This is a relatively geographically constrained conference. The schools are all very similar to each other. They've been together for a long time. So one, nobody really has to charter any flights. You can bus almost everywhere. And busing to for a softball game is about 20% the cost of flying for any of these things here. So they're going to save a lot of money compared to Conference USA, where, listen, if you get an extra $100,000 from Fox, but you got to spend $400,000 on your volleyball budget, you didn't really make any more money, right? The other thing that I've been told here from media executives is that when you know exactly what your identity is, it can be easier to sell sponsorships, right? The MAC is able to go, listen, Farm and Fleet Insurance or Culver's or whoever, if you want to reach a Midwestern audience, this is the place to go, and here's the people I can deliver, and here are the markets. And if you're in Conference USA, that's a little bit more challenging, because you're like, well, we're a little bit in Texas, and we're a little bit in South Florida, and we're a little bit in suburban Nashville. That's not as easy of a play here when you don't have a gigantic audience, right? When you're the SEC, you can do whatever you want, because you're a national brand. despite not being a national conference. That's not what Conference USA or the Big South or any of these other, you know, smaller leagues are. I don't know if the MAC is going to expand. I've seen a lot of rumors on social media that they're going to look at Western Kentucky and Middle, and I'm sure that they'll take that call. There would be some attractiveness in trying to have a little bit more exposure around greater Nashville, as many of these MAC schools would love to recruit more out-of-state students. But I don't think it's required. There's something to be said, just like in life and in business, for being really comfortable with what you are and who you are and what you're trying to be and not trying to be something that you're not. And that's why the MAC's been around a long, long time.
We're joined by Matt Brown of Extra Points. Matt, before we let you go, where does Liberty fit into all this? Liberty has beaucoup dollars. Deep funds, huge endowment. They're having success on the athletic fields. I would think Liberty would be extremely attractive, but at the same time, we had a guest last week who said, you know what, all that money actually might scare conferences away because there's one team that can come in maybe with a little bit too much influence. What's your take?
That is exactly it. So there, you know, the last time we've gone through this process, there were two factors that gave a lot of schools pause about Liberty. One of them was exactly that. When Liberty first tried to get into Conference USA, you know, I've had people that used to work at that school say they came in and offered to pay a gigantic entrance fee. And rather than everyone thinking, wow, this is awesome, we could really use an extra $3 million, it was, this is terrifying. This school already has better facilities than all of us. They have way more fundraising capability than all of us. We're not going to be able to compete. The other factor is that academics and institutional fit really do play a role in this. And when you look at Conference USA and the Sun Belt and a part of the American, a lot of these schools are not, you know, they're not Berkeley, right? They're not these gigantic liberal bastions. But there are professors and there are regents that say, I don't want to be associated with Liberty. And a lot of that had to do with their last president, who was considered to be a scandal risk and not somebody that they wanted to have next to them on the podium at an event. Liberty, you know, what kind of school they want to be in the future is still kind of up in the air a little bit. So that makes them a little bit more challenging. I think right now they're honestly in a pretty good position, right? They have all the money that they need. As long as they keep winning on the field, their ability to get television games and grow their fan base is going to increase. They're in a better position to remain independent, I think, and benefit financially and athletically than to join Conference USA or join a league that really doesn't elevate them.
Bottom line, what's going to happen to CUSA? Will it be in business in 2 years?
I think so. No, there's a real chance it's not called Conference USA anymore, and their office might be somewhere else, and not all of their central employees are the same. But I think that rumors of their demise as of this moment are a little bit exaggerated. Conferences are a tricky thing to kill.
He's Matt Brown of Extra Points. Follow him on Twitter at MattBrownEP. Matt, excellent stuff, bud. Appreciate you coming on today.
Hey, no problem, fellas. It's been a pleasure. Have a great rest of your day.
All righty. It's Matt Brown of Extra Points. Excellent newsletter.